Good afternoon. You're listening to the Eddie's Inc. Youth News Team on KDK.
For our public affairs program this month, we are going to be talking about pet health and wellness.
Pets are a big part of many of our lives. We love taking them along on our adventures. They're the best companions.
We think it is important for everyone to be informed about how to take care of our furry friends.
I'm Blake.
I'm Adele.
And I'm Indigo.
We are excited to be your hosts for today's show. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Luis Marin of Alpine Animal Hospital.
Thank you for joining us on our show.
For the next half hour, we're going to be discussing ways that we can raise happy, healthy pets, as well as talking about common and seasonal health pet health problems.
To begin our discussion, can you please introduce yourself and tell us how you started your career in pet health?
Well, thank you for having me today. My name is Louise Marin. I'm a veterinarian at Alpine Animal Hospital, and I became interested in animals as a very young child. I was very fortunate to have parents who allowed me to explore my relationships and my interest in animals. We had many different pets as a little girl, and also I happened to be one of those people who really enjoyed school, and my talents and education were very nurturing, so it kind of was always something that I enjoyed and that I kind of never strayed off the path. So that helped me become what I wanted to be as early as I could, because I just always wanted to be a vet.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
Interacting with the animals is definitely the most rewarding part. I have to say, I also enjoy interacting with the people that bring them to us. But definitely still it's that the animals win.
What does an average day in the life of a vet look like?
Well, the average day is usually quite long. It starts out before we open by coming in to check the day's schedule and check on any patients that have been hospitalized overnight so we can have their care lined out for the day. And then we meet as a team, the whole group, the front desk and the nurses and all the doctors, and we talk about what patients we're expecting for that day so that everybody can have an awareness of any sort of flexibility or adjustments or assistance that one or more people might need. And then we get started. And we have scheduled appointments. We also see emergencies. Depending on the day, there might be surgeries, there might be dental procedures, and a lot of outpatients. So the outpatients consist of healthy animals that are coming in for their annual wellness exam, vaccines, preventive care, stuff like that. And then also we will see sick animals, those that have a problem. The end of the day very rarely ends when we close for business. Usually it lasts beyond that to return phone calls and finish medical records and make sure that all of our hospitalized patients have the care that they need. And then we go home for a quick bite to eat and a quick sleep, and then we start over again.
Awesome. And this is a fun one. What's the most unusual pet you've ever encountered at your practice?
Well, I had a box turtle once that was brought in after it got chomped on by a dog. That was probably the most interesting patient.
If you are just tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. Louise Marin of Alpine Animal Hospital about pet health and wellness. She just shared a little bit about herself and her job. Now we are going to continue our conversation and focus more on specific aspects of pet health.
As pet owners, what are the best things we can do to ensure that our pets live long, happy, healthy lives?
Wow, that's a loaded question and a very long answer. I would categorize probably three main components of health care for your pets. It's going to be their physical health. So that is going to entail their nutrition and their exercise. It's going to be their mental health, mental and emotional health. So that's going to be the types of interactions that they have with you and that you allow them to have with other people and other animals. And lastly, their environment. So the way that you arrange your house and their yard and what kind of access they have to it. Those are kind of the main categories that pet owners need to pay attention to.
What are the most common seasonal problems that our pets encounter, and what can we do to remedy them?
In the summertime is when we will see more often problems like injuries. As far as like orthopedic injuries, broken bones, torn ligaments and tendons, because most of the time that's when animals are the most active as far as out fetching ball and things like that. In this valley, people are so active that we see some of that in the winter as well. But what you can do to prevent that would be to just know that dogs are like people. And even though they act like they can run and run and run and run and never get tired, they actually can get tired. They can get fatigued. And when they get overly tired or they take some huge leap through the air, they can land and hurt themselves. So even though they act like they are invincible, they're not. So we as humans have to kind of try to moderate their activity and not encourage them to do things that seem like it might hurt them or overdo it, overexercise, especially in the summer when it's hot. Dogs can get heat stroke. They can get over hot, overheated, and that is dangerous to them just as much as it is to us. But a human would tend to notice that they're getting hot and probably slow down, whereas a dog might be having so much fun fetching their ball that they will just blow right on through all the warning signs. Also, we see more parasites in the summer. So we don't have fleas here in Colorado, fortunately, so that's not such a big issue, but in other parts of the country, fleas can be a problem. And in the wintertime, we tend to see more illnesses associated with the holidays, like Thanksgiving and Christmas, when dogs and cats get fed parts of the human feasts that happen around those holidays, that can really make them sick. Other than that, fortunately, here in Colorado, we don't have a lot of swings between the seasons. Allergies, skin allergies can be worse in the summertime from grasses, trees, pollens, things like that.
How often do you think people should bring their pet to the vet?
We encourage our pet owners to come in at least once a year. Even when their animals seem like they're healthy, they're eating and drinking and sleeping and peeing and pooping and the things they seem like they should do, they can start to show signs of problems that aren't necessarily very obvious unless you know what you're looking for. So even if animals seem like they're totally healthy and normal, we ask our clients to bring them in once a year so that we can weigh them, make sure that they're not gaining or losing weight. Look at places that maybe their owners don't necessarily look at or pet very often. For example, their teeth. It's pretty easy to overlook the teeth because they're hidden underneath the lips. And, you know, underneath the tail, sometimes those parts aren't very often observed. So that's why we ask people to come in once a year, even when they seem like they're healthy.
Does that change when you have a young animal, like for instance, a new puppy or older?
It's a good point. Yes, it does. So puppies, we encourage people to bring them in once a month until they're about 4 months old, because that's the vaccine booster schedule. And also they're growing so quickly during that time. And there's so much information to give about puppies regarding all the different puppy care, toys, diet, exercise, spaying and neuter, surgery, behavior, all that stuff. So we like to see them once a month until they're about 4 months old, so we can make sure that their people have all the information that they need and we can watch them develop. And then in the older animals, once a year, a lot of times isn't quite enough because, you know, pets age a lot faster than humans. Humans live into their 80s, 90s, and sometimes even hundreds, whereas pets only live to be 10 plus, maybe 10 to 16 years old. So 1 year in the life of a dog is equivalent to many more years in the life of a human. You probably have heard that a dog year is like 7 human years. So when they get to be older, anywhere eight or older, we like to see them twice a year so that if something starts to change for them, we'll notice it quicker and be able to do something about it.
Pets are so much fun to have. We love them like family. Sadly, we outlive many of our pets. How can both children and adults mourn and grieve the loss of a pet?
I think it's important to have somebody that understands how hard it is to lose a pet that you can talk to and that can support you. So if somebody's never had a dog before and you're feeling really sad about losing an animal, that person's maybe not the best one to talk to, because they just maybe not, won't quite understand. And they might make you feel bad about feeling bad. So it's really good to be able to talk about it. You know, if you have family members who are also really sad about losing the pet, it's good to be able to just express that emotion and know that it's completely normal and natural and acceptable. There's things that you can do to try to help commemorate your pet, to help the good memories that you have last for longer and kind of raise your spirits when you're feeling low about the loss. Things like looking at photos, or what we do when pets pass away would be to make an imprint of their paw with either clay that you can bake or ink that you can make on a cardboard, so that you can hang it up and look at their paw print and just kind of feel the closeness even when they're gone. Those are a few ideas.
A lot of people have been adopting new pets due to the pandemic and being able to work or do school from home. What are some considerations you should think about before bringing a new pet into your home?
It is something that we've seen people adopting new pets because they're home and they feel like they're going to have all this time to give to their pets. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful for the animals and for the people. One thing that's really important for people to keep in mind is that life may go back to the way it used to be. And so it's really important to not just treat your animal or allow them to think that the way things are now is the way that it always should be. So animals that have their human at home with them all day long, every day, can become really distressed when all of a sudden their human has to leave or go back to work. So it's important to allow your pets, your new pets, to have some time alone in the house, so that they can know that that's a normal thing and that you're still going to come back. And also socialization. So right now it's, you know, humans are keeping distance from each other. And a lot of times that translates into the dogs also being kept apart. So you want to take special effort to find a way to get your new pet exposed to other dogs and cats safely.
Going along with the topic of COVID-19, some people have been wondering, are pets susceptible to COVID, and how can we keep them safe too?
As of now, there's no evidence to suggest that dogs are susceptible to COVID. There have been some cases reported of cats testing positive, but it's not likely that they actually get sick from the disease. It's more likely that they can just harbor the virus and pass it along. The short answer is no. Dogs and cats are not at risk of getting COVID.
What are some ways that your vet practice has had to adapt to meet COVID regulations and restrictions?
Last summer, when the stay-at-home orders got put in place, there was also some restrictions put on non-elective procedures because the state was trying to conserve personal protective equipment like masks and gloves. So during that time, we were not allowed to do surgery and dental procedures. And then the other thing that's changed, and it's kind of changed over time too, there have been periods where we don't allow clients to come in the building with their pets, just to reduce their exposure to us and our exposure to them. And that's been pretty hard, because most pets really prefer to have their people with them, especially when they're in kind of a scary place like the doctor's office. So fortunately, we're not doing that right now. They call that curbside, when the people have to stay out in the parking lot and we only bring the pets in. Right now, what we're doing is we allow just only one person to come in with each pet for their appointment. So it used to be that maybe a boyfriend and a girlfriend would come, or you know, a mom with her two kids, or a husband and wife. But anymore, we just can't allow that many people into the small space of a closed exam room. So we just let one person at a time.
What breeds of dogs are best adapted for life in our climate?
Since most dogs in this area live inside, they all tend to get along pretty well. Chihuahuas and short-haired breeds oftentimes are going to need some warm clothing just in these cold days of winter. But huskies and golden retrievers and labs, which are a lot of really common breeds around here, are quite well adapted for the cold and the snow.
Many people in our community have both indoor cats and outdoor cats. Which do you think is better for the long-term health and happiness of cats, or do they both have pros and cons?
There are pros and cons to both. Cats will be safer inside when they're kept inside only because they aren't at risk of getting hit by a car or killed by a predator. That said, there's a lot of emotional benefits for cats to have the freedom and fresh air and sunshine of being allowed to go outdoors. Also, the enrichment of being able to stalk and hunt prey is pretty critical to a cat's emotional well-being. So you've got to strike a balance. A great in-between is to train your cat to go outside but stay in your yard, which can be done by using a harness and a leash. It certainly takes some learning on the cat's part and patience on the human's part to make that a situation that's actually pleasant for the cat. But that's a good in-between. The other good in-between would be to make an enclosure that's outside, kind of like a rabbit hutch situation where they're outdoors and they've got the fresh air and the sunshine, but they're still kind of contained where they're safe and cannot go over the fence and be in danger.
What are some good resources to learn more about pet health and training?
There is a lot of information on the internet, and we're always cautious about just inviting people to go look around because there's places that have less than accurate information. One of my favorite websites is called veterinarypartner.com, and they've got a lot of really great articles with accurate and helpful information about pet health. So that's kind of my first go-to. The Denver Dumb Friends League also has a lot of really great resources online as far as pet health and also pet behavior. And then just, you know, having a relationship with your veterinarian is very important so that you feel like you can get in touch with your veterinary office anytime you have a question and speak with the nurse or the doctor and get the information that you need.
Is there anything else you would like to share with us?
You know, this area, the Roaring Fork Valley, is lucky. The people that live here are lucky in a lot of ways. And as a veterinarian, I feel really lucky to be here because the pet owners truly tend to view and treat their animals as family members. So that makes my job very rewarding because the people want their animals to be healthy and happy just as much as we as the veterinarians do. So as a team, we have a lot more influence, and it's great. The animals here in the Roaring Fork Valley tend to be very healthy.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the show and for sharing your knowledge.
And thank you to the listeners. We hope you learned some helpful information about raising happy, healthy pets.
Make sure to tune in on the third Monday of every month at 4 o'clock to hear more of our interviews.
For the Andy Zanka Youth News Team, I'm Adele.
I'm Indigo.
And I'm Blake.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
The ASYAP Youth News Team loves dogs, cats, and other animals. We hope you do too. There are many animals available at local shelters that are in need of happy, safe, forever homes. CARE, or Colorado Animal Rescue in Glenwood, has many cats and dogs available for adoption. We would like to give shout-outs to a few of these adoptable animals at CARE. Daphne is a 3-year-old calico short hair kitty. She has adorable little ears and honey-colored eyes. She's a beautiful cat and would love to come home with you. Jazz is a 2-year-old striped tabby male cat. He loves curling up in his kitty bed for some nice long naps and also loves playing with his toys. Eloise is a 2-year-old tortoise shell. She loves napping and finding the perfect spot to hide away and snooze. Any of these cats would love to come home with you. We would also like to highlight a few dogs that are currently available for adoption. Hank is a hound mix, and he's 100 pounds of love. He can't wait to get up in the mountains for a weekend hike or to go camping under the stars. Despite his size, he believes he's a lap dog at heart. Swish is a 7-month-old cattle dog mix. He came from an Indian reservation in Utah, and he can't wait to find his person. Tsunade is also a cattle dog mix. She's 96 pounds and she's 6 years old. She's friendly, wiggly, and cuddly. If you are interested in adopting or welcoming a new furry friend from CARE, you can visit the shelter, call, or go to coloradoanimalrescue.org. These were just a few available adoptables, but we have many amazing shelters in the Valley. Aspen Animal Shelter, Rifle Animal Shelter, and CARE are all great options. We hope all these animals will find great homes. Thanks so much for listening. VetSource.com recommends 10 ways to keep your pet healthy and happy. Number 1, proper nutrition. Feeding your pet the right amount and type of food helps them maintain a healthy weight, which is one of the best ways to prevent obesity-related illnesses and extend their lifespan. Number 2, exercise. Regular walks, hiking, playing fetch, and swimming can keep your pet physically active and fit. But don't forget about mental stimulation. Providing toys to play with, hiding treats, building obstacle courses, and practicing new tricks all keep your dog or cat interested and engaged. There's plenty of opportunities around us in the Roaring Fork Valley to get our pets outside. Number 3, regular checkups. An annual wellness exam provides the best opportunity for your vet to perform a variety of health screens that can lead to early detection of diseases and to spot warning signs of serious illness. Number 4, preventative medications. Taking preventative measures go hand in hand with regular vet checkups. Preventative medications can keep your pet free of unwanted health issues like heartworm, flea-related diseases, and tick-borne illness. Number 5, grooming. This involves keeping your pet's nails trimmed, brushing them a couple times a week, and giving them regular baths. Number 6, affection. Establishing a strong bond with your dog or cat is good for both of you. Cuddles, pets, belly rubs, and even brushing their coat are great ways to show your pet some love. Number 7, socialization. Time interacting with other dogs and cats can help lead to happy pets. Number 8, spay and neuter. Getting your pet fixed has several benefits. It can help prevent some cancers and diseases, extend your pet's life expectancy, and cut down on aggressive behavior. Number 9, know what's normal. Has your pet's behavior changed recently? Are they scratching more than normal? Eating more or less than normal? Changes from the norm could be cause for concern and indicate an underlying issue. Number 10, pet safety. There are several ways to keep your pet safe. Collars with ID tags, microchips, making sure your home is free of safety hazards, and putting toxic substances out of reach. This has been the top 10 ways to keep your pet happy and healthy from VetSource.com.